Isaiah chapter 45, verse 19, notice something that is so characteristic of the Lord. He says this, I've not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. Watch it. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. I declare things that are right. This is the nature of the Lord. When the Lord speaks, what he says in righteousness, and what he says is right. Now, there are a lot of people that dispute that. And they will argue about the words of God, and they will argue about the validity and verity of the words of God, all that other kind of stuff. Listen, we're Bible believers in here. And we know these words are right. And we know the Lord speaks in righteousness. That's the nature of the Lord. When he speaks, what he says is right. In Proverbs chapter 8, verse 6, the Bible says, "Hear, wisdom is speaking." Wisdom is speaking, and he says, "Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips, listen, shall be right things." Shall be right things. The Lord said, "I declare things that are right. The opening of my lips shall be right things." You say, well, why are we looking at this? Because we're in a season now where you're going to bump into somebody. So maybe it's a stranger, maybe it's a neighbor, maybe it's a coworker, more likely even a family member. And there's going to be a desire in your heart at least to say something to them about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know that I'm going to face that situation myself. As a matter of fact, I was talking to Pastor Hoots the other day. We were visiting about a matter. I think it had probably to do with the Beyer family, you know, with Shiloh's passing and so forth. And he had some things that he wanted me to pray for him, which I did. And then he said, well, what can I pray for you? And I said, you know, this next week, the one coming up now, our family members will be here. Our children will come. And we'll be able to spend a time together, which we don't often as a family get to do now because of the different parts of the country where people live. And I told him, I said, we have children that are not living right with the Lord, and it's a great burden to me. And there are times when we've been together where, as much as I could tell, the Lord withheld saying anything. But now it's different. To this time, there's a sense that there's something that I need to say. Okay? And here's what he said. I'm going to pray that the Lord gives you the right thing to say at the right time and in the right spirit. I think that's an excellent prayer request. I think it's an excellent way to put it. That we say the right thing at the right time and in the right spirit. And I visited with Ann about that, and I said, I'm not exactly sure how the Lord's going to set that up, but we really need to be thinking about that. Because, you know, it can be hard to say something, to know what to say, to know just the right time it is to say it. Oftentimes what happens, the window either never opens or it opens and closes and nothing's been said. Or all those hours of praying, you know, it comes out the wrong way or with the wrong spirit. So tonight what we want to do is we want to look in the Bible about those three things, the right thing, at the right time, in the right spirit. Those are the three things that we want to look at about the opportunity. And I'll tell you, honestly, one of the things you can be sure, if the Lord leads you to say something that is out of his book, you know this, it's the right thing. Because he always declares things that are right, and the opening of his lips is always right things. So you don't have to worry about whether or not it was the right thing to say, if it's something that he said and he impresses upon your heart to say. Look at Proverbs chapter 23. As I said, we'll be looking in the scripture tonight. Proverbs chapter 23. And here, Solomon is speaking, as he often does in the Proverbs, to my son. In Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 15 and 16, we want both of those verses, but in verse 15, my son, if thine heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice even mine. Every parent here that recognizes wisdom in the heart of a child rejoices in your heart. And of course, there's sadness in the heart if the wisdom should be there, and it's not. But notice what he says in verse 16, yea, my reins shall rejoice, watch it, when thy lips speak right things. We know the Lord declares things that are right. We know the opening of his lips is right things. But Solomon said, I'm going to rejoice when thy lips speak right things. And oh, that's the key. We know the Lord's going to be right, but how can we be right with the right thing? And how can we, I mean, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Wouldn't you like it if God could say to you, my son, right? My heart shall rejoice, even mine. What? When he sees wisdom in there, and he shall rejoice when our lips speak right things. Don't you know that it's the great desire of the Lord to be able to speak to those who don't yet know him? Or the desire of the Lord to speak to those who do know him who are not in a right relationship with him? Don't you know that the Lord is very desirous that they hear the things that he would declare to them that are right, but he's going to use your voice to do it? And don't you know he would rejoice in his own heart if you said what he would have said the moment he gave you something to say? The right thing. Right? And that's it. And I read that here with us and I think, okay, isn't that something? If the Lord would say, my reins shall rejoice when thy lips speak right things. Whoa, wouldn't you want to be walking in the right relationship with the Lord at the moment that what you said, you would not have any regret because you knew it was exactly what the Lord wanted you to deliver. Kind of like the prophets of old who could stand up and without question say, thus saith the Lord, and though it was a man's voice, though it was a man's body, though it was a man's mouth, the words coming out were words that were put in there by the Lord Jesus Christ, by God himself, right from the... You know that because holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, and much of what they said has been recorded for you in writing. They were the very words of God that came forth when they spoke. That's an amazing thing. My son, my reins shall rejoice when thy lips speak right things. You know, how in the world are we going to know that we are at the moment speaking a right thing? Well, I think first of all, you'd have to be very attentive in your Bible reading. Some of you have said to me, I am going to have the opportunity to witness to somebody I work with or a neighbor or friend or a family member. And I'm reading in my Bible and I'm asking the Lord to show me what to say to them. And isn't it remarkable while you're reading, God impresses upon your heart, I want you to say that. So I would say the first thing in order for us to be able to know that we're going to say the right thing is that we need to be alert when we're reading the Bible, that not only are we reading to get something for ourselves by way of teaching or doctrine, but we're reading to get something that God wants us to use to give to somebody else. That verse of Scripture. That's the one I want you to say. You know, and I believe when you're very alert to the reading of the Word of God and very prayerful in intercession for the person that you want to speak to, I believe God can direct you. He does when we're preaching, right? You're getting a message together. Those of you who've had the opportunity to preach, you're getting a message together. And God lays something upon your heart. He says, this is the passage I want you to preach. This is the subject from my words, right? Well, he would do the same thing when it comes to speaking to somebody about the right, about something from the Scripture that they need to hear to help them get in a right relationship with the Lord. It's the right thing. But we need to be alert when we're reading that God is not just speaking to us about the things we need, but He's speaking to us about the things they need that He wants us to say. And you can have a great deal of confidence when the Lord impresses upon your heart that verse, that passage. Say that. I think not only do we need to be alert when we're reading the Bible to get the right thing, but we also need to be attentive when we're listening to others. Have you ever noticed when you're reading in the Scripture Jesus Christ's encounter with the people He's ministering to, He absolutely understands the heart condition being expressed by the words coming out of their mouths, and He knows exactly the thing to say that addresses their heart condition. How often, I think that's good, how often do you see a situation where somebody's speaking and somebody else comes to give an answer? There was a talk show on the radio years ago, and it was a call-in program. I called it the Bob and Bob Show. Some of y'all remember that. Yeah, it's okay. That's how we fill the baptistry. And that's how we take the hose out after it's full. We used to call it the Bob and Bob Show. And what it was, people would call in and they would ask these guys questions and then they would answer. And sometimes they would ask questions which, if answered scripturally, would actually go contrary to what Bob and Bob believed. So some of you are nodding your head, y'all heard the program, so they would answer and it was like, that's not the right answer. But after giving the answer, Bob would say, one of the Bobs, would say to the caller, did that answer your question? And here's what you'd hear on the other end. Yeah, I think so. Thank you. And they'd hang up as like, you didn't get the answer because they didn't give you the answer. And you're just as confused, if not now more so, than you were before you made the phone call. You know what that is? That's somebody not listening carefully to what was said that needed a scriptural reply. So be alert. Be alert when you're reading the Bible that God may actually be showing you something that He's going to want you to tell somebody else. And then listen very carefully in conversations in which you are speaking and another person is speaking, that they might actually say something. The thing that God has given you dovetails exactly with what they said. And it's the thing they need to hear in response either to the comment that they've made or the question they've raised. So I believe we need to be very listening to, attentive while we're listening to others. And then I think we need to be aware of the Spirit's leading in what to say. There are a lot of things you could say, but the Spirit of God is going to lead you. Look in John chapter 14. I'll give you an example here. John chapter 14, you know, in this passage of Scripture where you are, John chapter 13, 14, 15, 16, and then the prayer in John chapter 17, Jesus Christ is loading up His disciples with a lot of information, all in a very short period of time right before He's going to go to the cross and die. So this is going to be, a lot of what He's saying is going to be overshadowed by their distress at His arrest, His trial, and then His crucifixion. In John chapter 14, verse 26, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in My name. All right, has He come? Yeah, He's here. He was sent to you, sent to Me. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. He said, I'm going to bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said to you. So you're reading and the Lord brings something to you that He wants you to say, then He brings it to your remembrance. If you're sensitive to or aware of the Spirit's leading at the time, He brings it to your attention and it's like, oh yeah, that's the thing. I can't tell you. I cannot count the numbers of testimonies that I have heard from people who said to me, you know, I started witnessing to this guy and all of a sudden all this Scripture just started coming out. It's like I didn't even know where it was coming from. I know where it was coming from. Spirit of God brought it back to your mind and out it came. Out it came. Now, I'll tell you an interesting story. I think it wasn't too long ago when I mentioned this to you before. But if you're like I am, a lot of times you'll hear a story, and then when somebody else starts to say, "Yeah, oh yeah, I know the story," but you can't remember all the details. When I first got started in the ministry, before I even went to Bible college, and we were in El Buen Pastor, the little Spanish mission there in Beeville, we had a guy named Danny Dominguez who had a stroke that was our hospital minister. He could have compassion on people. He spent a lot of time there. And he'd go, and he and I were sitting down one day, and he goes, "Brother Welder," he said, "I'm so frustrated because when I've memorized the scriptures, I know what to say, I know the gospel, but when I get to the hospital and it comes time for me to start to give the gospel, I can't remember the scriptures." And he said, "The reason is I've had this stroke and half the time my mind doesn't work." I thought, "You're lucky. Most of the time mine doesn't." And so he said, "It just kind of like shuts down and I can't remember anything." I don't know why I said this. All I can say to you is the Holy Spirit gave me something at the very moment he needed that Holy Spirit had given to me before, because I'd never applied it in this context. I said, "Danny, the problem is you're trying to put it in your mind, and your mind is not reliable now because of the stroke. But that's not where the Lord told you to put it. The Lord said to put it in your heart. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." So I said, "When you go back to memorize your scripture, put it in your heart." You know, you may be asking, "Well, how do you do that?" I don't know how you do that, but he did. No, I do know how you do it, because it becomes part of you. 3 weeks later, he was waiting for me when we got to that little building where that mission was, and he came dragging that foot up to me. He was so excited, just beaming from ear to ear. He said, "Brother Welder, I did just what the scripture said. I hid that in my heart, and when I got there yesterday to minister to this guy in the hospital, it just came flowing out of there. Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." And he said, "And that guy got saved." You know who does that? That's the Holy Spirit. That brings that to your remembrance. So that you, if you're concerned, because I know all of you are, what's the right thing to say to this person? Somebody that you know, and you don't know what wrench of God fits that nut. He's got a wrench to fit every nut, for sure. He knows. He speaks right things. If you're paying attention while you're reading, paying attention while you're listening, paying attention to the Holy Spirit, you know what? God will match that up. You can trust God to give you the right thing to say, because he knows what it is. And he knows how to communicate that to you for their benefit. You know, I find a great deal of comfort in what I just told you, because it can be very intimidating to talk to people about their souls. It really can. But when you know that God never fails to come up with the right thing, and you're in a relationship with him where you're willing to listen to what he has to say so you can say it, you have great confidence. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. And you'll be able to say what he said, even though you may think, "Well, I don't think they're going to like that." You're not the judge of that. You're not the judge of that. The thing you are concerned about is, I got to get the right thing out. And God knows what that is. Okay? All right, so he said, "You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to pray that God will give you the right thing to say." Listen, at the what? At the right time. At the right time. Go with me to Mark chapter 4, and notice Jesus Christ knew his disciples, and he knew the Jews. He knew all men very well. And he knew that there was a right time for certain things, and there was a wrong time for certain things. And notice here in Mark chapter 4, in verse 26, he's giving a parable concerning the kingdom of God, see? And he's speaking in parables here. And then he says in verse 30, he starts another parable concerning the kingdom of God. He compares it to a mustard seed here. Okay, but then notice in verse 33, with many such parables spake he the word unto them, watch it, as they were able to hear it. In other words, he did not give them more than they could hear at the time that he spoke it. There's many, many more things that Jesus could have said to them, but he realized they were not going to be able to hear it, so why say it? Right? So he says, okay, the right time for what I need to say, or the right thing to say at this time is, I'm going to give you a couple of parables concerning the kingdom of God, because I know that's about all you can handle. I'll give you another example of the way the Lord Jesus Christ did this in John chapter 16. Again, going back to that same passage where we were, John chapter 16, Jesus, as you see, has just given him thing after thing after thing. Then he gets to John chapter 16, and look what he says in verse 12. John chapter 16, and look what he says in verse 12. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them. What's the next word? Now. Now. This isn't time. This isn't time. It's time for what I'm telling you, but it's not time for other things I can tell you. There's another time for that. Well, I tell you what, that is so important to me. You know, when I was learning, like many of you have, to witness, what'd you have? Evangelism explosion, four spiritual laws, Roman road, right? And all of these programs or methods of preaching were pretty much to start and go through the gospel and come to a decision right then to receive the Lord Jesus Christ or to reject Jesus Christ as their Savior right then, right? It was a determined thing. Listen, there are people who are ready to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, who, when they hear the gospel, will receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. There are a lot of people who are not. And you say, how do you know that? Well, I'm thinking of Jesus Christ and the woman at the well. Right? When Jesus Christ started speaking to her and eventually revealed to her that he was the Messiah, she believed. And then she went and told a bunch of other people that she had found the Messiah. And when she came back and Jesus Christ is explaining to his disciples what has transpired while they went into town to get something to eat, he said to them, there are some that sow and there are some that reap. You reap where other men have sown. Do you know what that indicates? There was work done in her life before the day that Jesus Christ met her. There was sowing that had already been done. Otherwise, there would not be something to reap. Do you get that? All right, so what that indicates is that there are times when you and I are going to be given the right thing, but the right thing to say may not be the entire gospel from start to finish in a decision to receive Jesus Christ on the spot. It may very well be that what God has given you is something that He wants you to say that will sow the seed in their heart in preparation for another time when they may even meet somebody else. If it hadn't been for what you sowed there, they wouldn't be ready for either more sowing here or watering here, like Paul described, or even reaping if it's come to that point in their lives. So if you're over here wrestling, trying to get a decision out of them right now, you know what you're going to do? You're going to damage a harvest. Do you understand what I'm saying? I remember years ago we had a fellow that's an acquaintance of mine, and there weren't houses over here. There was farming here, and there was farming here, and farming over there. And the farmers had planted at different times. And this guy was a guy who believed that you go start to finish with the gospel with everybody you meet. And you get a you wrestle them for a literally for a decision. To pray to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior so they can get saved. And I said, the only tool you have then in your shed is a sickle, is a scythe to harvest. Over here, there wasn't even a head on the crop. Over here, the crop had a green head on it. Over here, it was brown, but it wasn't really ready for harvest yet. I said, if you go in there with that thing, you're going to be cutting down stuff that's not even ripe. You're going to trample a potential harvest. You're going to do damage. Why? Because it's not time. You got to be. You want to recognize if God's given me the right thing. Okay, I need to say the right thing at the right time. But maybe that's all He wants me to say. And if that's all He wants me to say, listen. It's His word. I'm the witness. But it's only as much as God wants at the time. That's why Paul said, I planted, all right, that was sufficient. Apollos watered, God gave the increase. And you don't know how much time it takes for that to happen. Like I said, for some, they're ready. And for others, they're not. And you want to be sensitive to the fact that there is a time. And Jesus Christ told them right here in verse 12, he said, I have yet many things to say to you, but you can't bear them now. But they could bear the things that he said. All of 13, all of 14, all of 15, all of 16. They could bear that much. And that was pretty much. That was pretty much. Look at verse 13 and 14. Continuing on, he says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into what? All truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. So as he receives it, he shows it to you. I want to ask you something. Some of y'all have been saved a pretty good while here. Do you know more about the Scripture now than you did when you first got started? Yeah. But it took some time. It took some time, right? You didn't get the whole load from the beginning, but you got what you could handle, and God saw to it that you got what you could handle. Why? Because he took time with you. Isn't it interesting? One of the Holmes family that are visiting with us from Michigan just graduated and got his MBA. Congratulations. You know what? When he got out of kindergarten, he was not quite ready for what he learned when he studied for his MBA. Took some time. All right, so there's a right time. So just remember this. Man, I am so pressed about the kids that we're going to get to talk to this week, our family, that I would love to see everything getting straightened out in a week. But I have to be realistic, right? Doesn't happen that fast sometimes. So what I've got to be careful is to say the right thing, right, at the right time. Just like Jesus was. He was careful about that. And as a result, his disciples, who were very distressed and very distraught at that crucifixion, recovered from all of that after his resurrection, and they were able to get going with what they learned, and they did a really good job with it. And I think you will too. So what's the prayer? He said, I'm going to pray that God will give you the right thing at the right time and in the right spirit, that you'll be able to say it in the right spirit. Oh, I think that's crucial. Look at Job chapter 26. I'm going to ask you a question. Were those three guys that... All these words that went back and forth between them and Job, were those guys friends or enemies of Job? They were friends. No, they really were. I mean, I think at the end, when the Lord said to Job, "You need to pray. You know, you need to pray." Let me look over here real quick. Basically, what the Lord is indicating is that these guys are going to be blessed when Job prays for them. Him will I accept, lest I deal with you after your folly, and that you've not spoken to me the thing that is right, like my servant Job. And so he did pray for them, and the Lord, the Bible says, listen, the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for whom? His friends. That's at the end of the book. They were his friends. But they got sideways. They got crossways in their conversation with him. And part of the reason is they couldn't understand how in the world somebody could go through what Job was going through and not be wicked. So in the course of the conversation in Job chapter 26, look what Job says in verse 1. Job chapter 26, look at verse 1. But Job answered and said, how hast thou helped him that is without power? How savest the arm that hath no strength? How hast thou counseled him that hath no wisdom? And how hast thou plentifully declared the thing as it is. To whom hast thou uttered words? Watch it. And whose spirit came from thee? In the right spirit. Whose spirit came from thee? Well, I don't want to suggest that perhaps the devil could influence what you had to say. You're Christians. But I would like to say that there are times when you get in the flesh. And the spirit coming from you is not what God's doing, but it's your spirit. You're frustrated or angry or upset, right? And so you start to speak, and what happens is what's coming out, the spirit with which you are delivering your message, is one that's influenced by the frustration and the feeling that you have inside or whatever else, perhaps that you've been slighted or betrayed by the very person that you're talking to. And so it's your spirit, not God's spirit. And you know something, when people, and it's, I think this is what happened to the Job's friends. They just looked at that, and it wasn't God's spirit so much speaking through them. It was just guys that started getting really frustrated with Job's answers. And they're like, Job, you're a crazy man. You're not that righteous. You're as wicked as the wickedest of them all. They didn't say this, but you know, you're more likely to end up in hell than heaven the way you're talking. Right? What happened? They got, as we say, in the flesh. They got in the flesh. So whose spirit came from thee? Yours or the Lord's? He said, when the Holy Spirit comes, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. When your fountains are dispersed in the street, like Proverbs says, you want to make sure it's the Spirit of God that's coming forth and not the spirit of the man. Correct? And so, I'll give you a perfect example of it if you want to see it. Look in Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. So the disciples are being taught by the Lord Jesus Christ. They're being trained very, very well. And obviously they were trained very well because Jesus could leave. And with them having the Holy Spirit, they could carry on. I mean, just no problem at all. But look here in Luke chapter 9. Jesus Christ is ministering, man. These guys are, they're seeing miracles. They just saw him feed 5,000 people with, you know, five little pieces of bread, two little fishes, and it's a remarkable thing. But look here in Luke chapter 9, verse 51. Luke 9, verse 51. It came to pass, when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. All right, the Jews and the Samaritans don't get along, so they did not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, who are they? They're the sons of thunder, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? Boy, don't you know those guys were ready to smoke them. Verse 55, he turned and rebuked them and said, you know not manner of, what's the next word? Spirit, you're of. You see, in the right spirit. And their spirit was not the right spirit on this occasion. They're ready to smoke these guys. Verse 56, the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. So Jesus Christ, In his ministry, they were after him, and eventually they killed him. He never changed his spirit. He's on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And he easily could have called down legions of angels to spare his life and to destroy them all. And he would have been right to do that, but that wasn't the right spirit. The right spirit was, Jesus didn't come to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Well, you don't do that if you're smoking them just because they don't like you. Right? Burning them up. It's a different spirit. You know, some people, when it comes to a religious discussion, I say religious discussion, about the topics that we're discussing, you know, we're not promoting a religion here. We're promoting a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, salvation by grace, through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's not really a religious discussion, but you open it up sometimes and say, there are two things I don't talk about, religion and politics. Okay. They're trying to shut you down. No soliciting at this office. But you know, really and truly, some people just want to argue. Oh, you go to, I did many years ago. I don't fool with it now. But people go to forums. You know what people are looking for? They're looking for a fight. That's what they're looking for. They are not going to be persuaded by what you say. You're not going to be persuaded by what you, by what they say. But you're going to spend, I can't believe he said that. And then I'm going to give that verse of scripture. You get into one of that with your children or with a close friend or a neighbor, it doesn't go anywhere. I've referred to you the book of Job a few times, and Job, early on in his conversation with these guys, really was getting frustrated with them very early, and that what he said went on for the remainder of their conversation. He said, "Listen, this is so good. So good you ought to see it." Job 6:25. I was going to quote it, but then I'm looking. It's saying the very thing that that you and I need to hear. Job chapter 6, verse 25. Job is speaking, and he admits something that is very, very true, and then he makes a caveat statement that is also very, very true and forms it in a question. Job 6:25, how forcible are, what kind of words? Right words. That's why you want to be able to say the right thing, because those words have force. I'm reminded, before we read the second part of the verse, I'm reminded about the guy that was on the street passing out tracts. And when he was passing out the tracts to all the people that were visiting through that downtown area, he would say, "Except you repent, you shall likewise perish." And there was a guy that had traveled into the city, and he handed the guy the tract, and he said, "Except you repent, you shall likewise perish." And the guy said, "What'd you say?" He said, "The Bible says, except you repent, you shall likewise perish." He said, "If you say that to me one more time, I'll knock you flat." You know what he did? He got knocked flat. Because he said it again, "Except you repent, you shall likewise perish." But he believed that's what the Lord wanted him to say, and the guy did. He, boom, right in the kisser, and down he went. And then the guy went to his hotel room to get a good night's sleep before he went to his sales meeting the next day, and guess what? He couldn't go to sleep. All he kept hearing was, "Except you repent, you shall likewise perish." How forcible are right words? The next morning he got up and went and found a preacher that knew the gospel and asked that guy how in the world he could repent. And the guy led him to Jesus Christ. How forcible are right words? But what doth your arguing reprove? That's a really good question. If you find that you're just getting ammunition to refute the thing they said, and they're getting ammunition to refute the thing you said, you're not getting anywhere. It's not working. And the reason is that the spirit that's in you now has riled up to defend. If you go through and you look in church history at the formation of doctrines that have come our way through the years, you know, there are quite a few of those doctrines that are no longer biblical. One group took this stand, and they said, "Well, that can't be right. We're going to take this stand. The truth is right here in the middle, but because you said it this way, we're going to play on that field." And they have argued with each other for centuries, and neither one of them were right. And that's about baptism and salvation and right dividing of the word of truth and many other doctrines, including salvation. Because it turned into an argument, and they got off of what the right things were. How forcible are right words? But you're arguing. What doth your arguing reprove? Well, nothing. So if you find that you want to talk to one of the kids or whatever, like, "We're going to pray to God, and I'll ask you to pray to God that we can do." If it turns into an argument, it's going to go nowhere. Right? It doesn't work. The right spirit would say, "I'm not here to argue about that. I'm not here to win an argument. I'm here to preach the truth. I want to say the right thing at the right time." Listen, in the right spirit, not mine, but his. His. That way he can say whatever he wants to say and say as much as he wants to say and stop wherever he wants to stop. Or if it means getting punched in the kisser because you have to say it one more time, okay, take that shot. It's just whatever the Lord wants. Because that's the right spirit the right desire to see God glorified and His Word magnified so a saint can be edified or a sinner can come and be sanctified, come to Jesus Christ and be saved. Turn with me to Job chapter 32. There was a witness, Job chapter 32, to this entire exchange. There was another person there. We know that Job was there. His wife was there for a short period of time. She stepped out. And these three guys were there, and they got into an argument. But there was a fourth man there the entire time, or five total with Job. There was a fourth man there that watched the entire exchange. For as ever long it went for them to get all this done, he's standing there, and his name is Elihu. And in Job chapter 32, in verse 1, these three men ceased to answer Job because he was righteous in his own eyes. And there's Elihu. Then was kindled the wrath of Elihu, the son of Barachel, the Buzite, of the kindred of Ram. Against Job was his wrath kindled because he justified himself rather than God. And also against his three friends was his wrath kindled because they found no answer and yet had condemned Job. All right, now the guy's mad about it. But you know something? He doesn't let that spirit come forth from what he's getting ready to say. Watch what he says. We're going to read this, okay? Just, you know, you may not have read a chapter of Bible today, but I think it's important. We'll comment because you're going to see all three things we've talked about tonight right here in the first things that Elihu has to say. Verse 4, now Elihu had, what's the next word? He was looking for the right time. Waited till Job had spoken because they were elder than he. So Elihu's a young man. When Elihu saw that there was no answer in the mouth of these three men, then his wrath was kindled. And Elihu, the son of Barachel the Buzite, answered and said, I am young, and you're very old. Wherefore I was afraid and durst not show you mine opinion. I said, days should speak, and multitude of years should teach wisdom. But there is a spirit in man. Notice that spirit. And you're going to see the right spirit here in another comment he makes. But there's a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. Great men are not always wise. Neither do the aged understand judgment. Therefore I said, hearken to me. I also will show mine opinion. Behold, I waited for your words. I gave ear. He's listening. To your reasons, whilst you searched out what to say. Yea, I attended, he was attentive, unto you, and behold, there was none of you that convinced Job or answered his words. Do you see what happened? They weren't responding to what was said. They were saying what they wanted to say. The right things at the right time. Verse 13, lest you should say, we have found out wisdom, God thrusteth them down, not man. Now, he hath not directed his words against me. Elihu was smart. He didn't say anything so he didn't get caught in the crossfire. Not directed his words against me, neither will I answer him with your speeches. In other words, what y'all been doing didn't work either, so I'm not going to use those. Then he comments about them. They were amazed. They answered no more. They left off speaking. When I had waited, for they spake not, but stood still and answered no more. I said, I will answer also my part. I also will show mine opinion, for I am full of matter. The spirit, the right spirit, within me constraineth me. Right spirit, right time, right words. Behold, my belly is as wine, which hath no vent. It is ready to burst like new bottles. I will speak that I may be refreshed. I will open my lips and answer. Let me not, I pray you, accept any man's person, neither let me give flattering titles unto man. I know not to give flattering titles, and so doing my Maker would soon take me away. I'm not going to worry about who I'm speaking to. I'm not going to give flattering titles. I'm not going to respect any man's person. I'm going to open my lips and I'm going to answer. And when you read what he said the right thing at the right time, in the right spirit. And as soon as he finishes, you know who shows up? God Almighty. God Almighty showed up, brought all those questions before Job, straightened out the whole matter, and Job repented. And God got that thing straightened out completely because one man waited for the right time to say the right thing in the right spirit. So when we pray for each other, particularly at this season, about friends that we've been praying for, family members, I pray that you pray for me concerning those family members and the things that we get to say. Let's keep these things in mind. How are they going to hear without a preacher? But they're not going to listen to us if we're not saying what God wants us to say. With the Spirit, He wants us to say it at the right time. Amen? I pray that we've all been admonished and helped by this tonight. Father, thank you so much for what you've given us out of the Scripture. I really appreciate the prayer request that Pastor Hoots has put up before you on our behalf. It's been not only helpful to me, but also instructive to us. Tonight, Father, I pray that we can take what we've heard here and allow your Holy Spirit to apply these words in our hearts in a way, Father, that will bring you honor and glory and allow your Spirit to use us as vessels to say what you want us to say in the time that you want us to say it. We ask you, please, to help us be good testimonies and faithful witnesses to those we meet. And by using these things that we've seen here in the Scripture and being attentive, that, Father, you can then accomplish what you desire to accomplish through your servants and your friends, your children. For we ask you to do these things in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.